Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're going with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as the Chocolate Thunder. Boom!
Boom!
Thank you.
Boom.
This is the man. That's triple thunder, Ryan. That's an afternoon thunderstorm in Mobile, Alabama. I'm joined by my friends and guests, Lane and Lindsay Mannion. You guys want to say goodnight to anybody before I read off my long list? Huh? No dead air on radio.
No.
Nobody want to say? Okay. No. Not even Santa Claus?
Maybe Santa
Claus. You need to remember him. Well, I got a long list. There's a lot going on in the month of April. Happy birthday to the wife of my good friend, Donnie Warren. Happy birthday, Tina Warren, 21 years young. Happy anniversary for 11 years to the Mr. and Miss Aunt Meyer Gatt. I've had the pleasure of being his friend 20 plus years. Just a phenomenal man, phenomenal family. Happy anniversary to you guys. Happy birthday to King Andre King, a good man. Happy birthday to John Wallstead, who turned 45. Happy birthday to my son, Trey Michael Jones, who turned 26. He's off at school at Rutgers University and Dental School. Wishing him all the best. Happy birthday to my good buddy, Tom Fitzgerald. We won't say his age, but dirt comes to mind when I think of it. Happy birthday to Miss Morris, Miss Cindy Morris, a wonderful woman, graduated high school, attended high school with my sister Jacqueline. Happy birthday to Byron Thompson, also known as By George, one of the guys from the hood back in Hillsdale. Happy birthday to Kip Thornton. He was there the day I got the name Chocolate Thunder. We won't discuss that story right now. Happy birthday to Jason Freaky J Powers. Won't tell you how he got his nickname. He's married now. And happy birthday to Randy Payton. Randy is at least 80, but he looks more like 58.
Yeah.
So we're happy to say happy birthday to anybody. If you guys got someone you want to count, call out, shout out to 251-343-0106. Today, my guests are here to talk about financial literacy and competency. Prices are up on everything. Eggs, food, gas, Lizzo's, Ozempic, all the prices have increased on everything. And so we should talk about financial literacy. We should talk about why it's important to be good with money. The national debt for the United States now is $39 trillion, up from $37.6 trillion just in January of this year. That is $116,000 in debt per American, per household. It is $10.8 trillion higher than it was in 2021. Alabama is ranked 30th in debt to Alabama's debt-to-income ratio is $1.24 for every dollar earned, and Mobile's is $1.29. Dollars for every $1 earned. So when we talk about debt and financial literacy, our government is spending like drunken sailors. And this is not a political conversation. This is a principle conversation. I don't get into politics anymore, but I talk about principles. And being smart with money is a principle we can all understand, right, Lane and Lindsay?
That's mm-hmm. right.
Right.
So tell me about you two guys real briefly, and then we're going to get into the important part. Tell me, introduce yourself to everyone. Don't be shy. It's okay.
All right. I'm Lane Mangan. I'm 27 years old, originally from Philadelphia. My wife and I, we've been together for 5 years. We'll be married 4 years next month. And we have a beautiful daughter. She's 3, going to be 4 in July. And, go ahead.
I'm Lindsay Mangan. I'm 26 years old. I don't have much education here, John.
Well, just introduce you. I don't either.
I barely made it through high school.
Oh, wonderful. But you were in the Navy and you guys met through a mutual friend.
Yes.
And a whirlwind. We don't have time to go, but it's a wonderful, fascinating story about their whirlwind romance. And when you got married, you realized you had to have a conversation about money.
Yes.
Absolutely. And conversating about money, I think, is something that typically people don't do enough
mm-hmm.
or is a hard topic, but it's important. And it's something that I personally believe should be talked about more because you have to earn money to live. And mm-hmm. The more knowledge you have about money, the better off you're going to be because you don't want to be in the dark. We all aspire to, accumulate and wealth. That's and have a happy, abundant life, and to be able to do that, you have to have the knowledge about how to not only earn money but keep the money that you earn.
Right.
And I think that's something that not everybody knows how to do, and it's something that everyone can do. It's not it's a possibility. You just have to have the knowledge on what do I do with my next dollar? What do I do with the dollars that I do earn?
Right. Lindsay, what came out of that that tough conversation that you guys had to have about money?
lots of clarity. We realized that, we have the same goals that we were unknowingly keeping from each other. We just didn't know where along the road towards the goals that we were until we had that conversation and we were able to get fully, I can't say fully aligned, but we were able to get maybe 85-90% there. And then we talked a lot about our discipline and things like that and how we were going to achieve what we wanted to achieve, whether it be for us or for our daughter in the future. It was tough. Mm-hmm. It was really tough because we've both come from, and it goes for everybody. Everybody goes from a different walk of life. And so there were things that he was saying that I was confused on in the sense of, I got money, I want to spend it, and mm-hmm. I don't want to save it for when I'm old and can't move around and do things. And he says that, now is the time where we have to put in the work and we have to do what we need to do in order to be able to live freely later on. We've been working very, very hard since.
Okay, great. We're coming up. I got the single finger salute from the Mad Hatter. We're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into what you did to save money, to pay off your million-dollar house, to pay off your boat, to pay off your chauffeur. This is what Chris Levy told me you guys had. Dude. He said you guys had a boat. He said you had a summer house. He said you had something in the Hamptons. Maybe not that much, but you guys took some steps to start saving money and pay off debt. So when we come back, I'm going to read off some stuff for advertisers, read some more statistics, and then let you guys explain what you did. Okay?
That sounds
if
good.
Anybody's listening and you guys want to call on and tell us how bad your credit score is, please do. But there was a time that I, too, have suffered. I've had a car repossessed. I've eaten the welfare peanut butter and jelly crackers. I've blown a lot. I've spent more money on spilt liquor than most people have on a house note over my years. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, we'll be right back. Mighty Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We are back. We're talking about financial competence and literacy with my friends Lane and Lindsay Mannion. But since we are talking about finances, I have to talk about a sponsor because they pay the bills to keep me on air. Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-4653, Gold, G-O-L-D. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, J.J., Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are there for whatever you might need for your bedroom, bathroom, boudoir. They have a socket set table. They have a power tool table. They have running boards for a Nissan or a Toyota Tundra. They have blowers. They have farming tools, equipment. They have table saws, jewelry, firearms, you name it, they got it. Before you buy from a big box, shop local first. Go see my friends at Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn. We're here with my friends. 29% of Americans have more than $10,000 in credit card debt. It's up from 7% just 2 years ago. The average USA household has $8,000 in savings, but that's only because of the high percentage of money that top 1% has. Couples and homeowners have higher savings than single unmarried people. So tell me what you guys did and how you did it, and I'm going to get out of your way.
I think really we came together and we talked about the finance and money and what we want and our goals.
Oh, yeah.
Together and it was a conversation. Like I said, it's not easy, but you got to talk about what you have coming in. See, that I think debt in itself comes from overspending, spending more than you earn. And we just came together and we realized this is what we want. You got to make some cuts, make some sacrifices. You don't have to. I mean, I would say, you know, in the beginning, if you're dealing with debt and a problem with overspending, it's not easy. I wouldn't say to cut everything. Find something that you can start small. Start small and then build up. What would you say that we did in the beginning as far as realizing our budgeting?
I think that... In the beginning, we were kind of in this mindset of we need more income, we need more income, this isn't working. And that's not the case for the majority. I think that the case for the majority is that you don't always need more income. You need a better system, figure out what works for you. And, you know, I agreed with the, you know, don't let it overwhelm you, start small. You just find one or two problem areas and you tackle those things as a team or by yourself. It just depends on what kind of situation that you are in particular.
When you married, did either of you have excessive credit card debt or just burdensome, unnecessary financial obligations?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The payoff and the stuff like that didn't come till later. We struggled. I mean, and I think that sometimes as bad as it is to struggle, sometimes it builds a clarity moment of like, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to live like this. What can we do to get out of that debt and start living a better life? And so then we don't take on credit card debt hardly at all anymore, if any, because we use credit cards. But the difference is credit card use, I think, is okay, but credit card debt is not.
Explain that.
So it comes back to discipline, and credit cards in themselves aren't a bad thing, because it depends on the credit card, of course, and the rewards or the system, because some of them give you cash back, and if you can use your credit card like a debit card and you're consistently paying it off, you can get some free money out of that.
Is that the most important thing with your credit card, is paying it off?
I personally think so. Right. I don't think that keeping debt, you don't want to pay the bank any more money than you have to. And interest can creep up on you. And if you're paying interest to the bank, you're losing money. That money could be grown for you with positive interest if you know where to park it. And I think a lot of the thing is that money that you're paying, you know, you see something you want, you buy it on a credit card. I'll make the payments. I'll make the minimum payments. Well, on the minimum payments, you're paying the bank money that you don't have to pay them.
And more than what the price.
Wait, you're overpaying everything that you put on a credit card that you're paying interest on. Most of these credit cards, I think the average is like 27%. It's extremely high on a lot of these credit cards, and you're overpaying for everything that you put on there if you don't pay it off. And that interest starts accruing after a month. I mean, we pay everything that we put on a credit card, we pay within 30 days. And we put it on a credit card that makes sense, that we get the benefits from. So if we pay something on a credit card, we're paying it off in 30 days. We're not paying the bank any extra money, and we reap the benefits of the reward of the card. But I think the credit cards can be dangerous for a lot of people that don't have that discipline.
Mm-hmm. I would think that there's quite a few people out there that are not credit card people.
What is that?
That means that, like, there are some people that kind of, like, you know, Lane, he understands how to use and not abuse. Mm-hmm. There are some people that don't and possibly won't ever understand how to use a credit card to their advantage. They see it as it's free money. They can do what they want. They let the interest and the debt just crawl up and up and up, and then they get stuck. And when they get stuck, what do? They open up another credit card, or they take out a loan to pay off the credit card. They're not changing
or default.
Right. They're not changing the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you're borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, you're just digging yourself in a deeper hole.
Mm-hmm. So it's not even about your income level. It's about discipline.
Discipline. And I that's the biggest thing. And that's why anyone can do it. It doesn't matter if you make $50,000 a year or, you know, $250,000 a year. Anyone can become wealthy with discipline and the goal. If you have a financial goal, I like to say that you feel strongly about and can work for, that's a great start. And to build the discipline of, like, okay, I made this much money, it doesn't matter how much. If you're living below your means, which what I mean by that is, a lot of people say, oh, I got a raise, I can afford a nicer car. So now you're parking your money up into these car payments. Mm-hmm. And you know, they just increase the lifestyle. Well, you just gotta tone it back and say, okay, yes, I can pay and afford are two different things. I can pay for it, but if you, in my opinion, if you can't afford to buy something twice, you can't afford it. And that's a good start to saving money.
Is there, you know, there have been tons of theories that came out, save 10% of your money, and is there any one philosophy for everyone, or is it?
No, I personally don't think there's I think it depends on the person. If you start with something, I say something is always better than nothing, especially if you're just starting out and you don't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Start somewhere. Something is always better than nothing, and you can always build more. So, like, if you're not used to putting any money back, and you start, you know, with $100 out of your check, or $50 even, or $20, it doesn't matter. You start building that discipline of, okay, I'm not going to spend X amount of dollars. I'm going to save that and put it up or invest it or what have you. You can continue to build. Okay, well, I managed with not having that extra $20, $50, $100, what else can I do? What else can I save? How much more can I put back? And then it accumulates, and mm-hmm. and eventually you have a savings plan of, like, okay, I haven't lived, you know, I haven't lived paycheck to paycheck because I'm not overspending. I'm not upgrading my lifestyle just because I'm getting a raise at work or I'm working a second job. I'm putting that money back and I'm saving it.
Lindsay, we had our 1 minute break. Take us out with elaborating on what Lane just said about a pay raise does not mean you can afford more. Because there's a big difference, you know, as you promote in your field. I'll let you think about it on the break. There's a big difference. You get a promotion, you get a 5% or 10% pay raise. You should not increase your expenses by 5% or 10%.
Right. Correct.
Right. If you've been eating this meal on what you were making before, that extra 5% could go into savings. Absolutely. As long as you discipline yourself on living with what is enough. Mm-hmm. My pawpaw used to always say, and he married my grandmother, and she never worked in the 50 years they were married. She never had a job. And this was once upon a time when people could do that on one salary. But he said, if you find a quarter, don't spend it. Put it in the bank, because that's a quarter you didn't have.
Right.
I heard him. I just didn't do it. So, because I've always had a taste for the nicer things, and there's another whole nother story that comes behind that. But Lindsay, think about that on the break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back tonight in Mobile with a wonderful topic that everyone needs to have with Lane and Lindsay Mangan. We'll be right back tonight in Mobile. My intro is Run DMC, Rock Box. You recognize that, don't you, Lane? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm a product of the 80s, and I had to have Run DMC in here. Lindsay, you said something before we went to break that some people just don't need credit cards.
Right.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
I think that there's people out there that when they hear about credit cards, and it's kind of like a trickle effect, you know, how they talk about generational wealth. I think that there's a trickle effect where these parents aren't very good with money in general and or credit cards. And they tell their children, like, hey, you should get a credit card and you just do whatever you want with it. And so they don't understand what they're getting themselves into. And it kind of becomes like this vicious cycle of racking it up, maybe paying it off. And if they don't pay it off just to rack it back up, then they just open up a new one. And it's just this awful cycle. And there's some people, of course, that know exactly what they're doing. I was one of those people, guys. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. Never had a credit card. I was told that it was so bad for my health because I would be one of those people. And even now, I'm still a little. I let Lane handle all of the credit cards.
Okay, Lane. We talked about each month you pay it off,
right?
Not living above your means, saving extra money you get.
Right.
What else?
I think it starts with saving, but it doesn't end there. I think once you realize that you can save that extra money, you need to know where to put it. Saving alone isn't going to do it, especially in this economy. The dollar is devaluing every year mm-hmm. at an alarming rate, actually, mm-hmm. Especially recently. Once you get the knowledge, I think you gotta figure out. I mean, I'm not here to give any financial advice per se, but do your own research and figure out where you're gonna park it. So we talked about negative interest in credit cards and your money going away to that credit card debt. If you can park it somewhere where it's going to be positively influenced.
Like where, for instance?
Well, I think a good start is like a high-yield savings account. If you're just, you know, if you're just starting out, and then try and, you know, get yourself knowledgeable and learn about investing and starting young. I think time is your biggest asset. Especially for the people out there that are young in their 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's never too late to start. I think some people get discouraged when they get a little older that oh, it's too late for me, so I'm just going to do you know, X, Y, and Z, and they've kind of given up. And I want to say that anybody can do it. When you get a little older, it does get a little harder because you don't have a lot of time, as much time, because compound interest and all that. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, compound interest. Like, it'll open up yourself a savings account and start there. You'll see the more you put in there, obviously, the more that it's going to go up. And then I like to tell the young people, think about retirement now, because what scares me is being 60 and having to work. I mean, I don't want to, especially in the career field that I'm in, mm-hmm. I don't want to be 60 and still having to work. If I'm working at that age, I want it to be my choice, not because I have to. So thinking about retirement and putting your money up into like a Roth, mm-hmm. I try and tell people that's a good move, especially young.
But when you hear these terms, high yield savings account and Roth, we're thinking about Daddy Warbucks. We're thinking about millions. I mean, really, when I heard those terms when I was younger, it's like, oh, I can't afford that. But that's not true, is it?
Not true at all. Anyone can do it. You could start a Roth IRA at 18, and if you did, you would be incredibly smart to do that, because the value of compound interest is incredible, especially at a young age. I mean, imagine
what is compound interest?
So compound interest it's your money compounding, building off of what you already put in. It's your money making money for you, mm-hmm. in the most basic terms, is your money's working for you. We have all heard the phrase,
right.
You know, try and make your money work just as hard, if not harder, than you do. Make your money work for you. You know, I think it was Warren Buffett who said, you know, if you're not making money while you're sleeping, you're going to work forever. And I don't necessarily believe that. But it is true. If you can figure out how to make that money work for you and you don't have to work as hard, you're going to be in much better shape.
Right. What are the biggest changes you guys made? We may have covered it, but what are the biggest changes? You had the conversation. You came to a conclusion. We want the same thing.
Right.
What are some of the biggest changes? Did you stop going to the racetrack? Did you stop going to the beauty salon? Did you stop buying Pokemon cards, which I started buying Pokemon cards. That's my I'm a nerd at heart. But what are some of the biggest changes you guys made after the conversation, Lindsay?
Budgeting. Before we started having these conversations, like I said, I was financially irresponsible for quite a while. You know, I got out of the military and I thought, shoot, this is the most money I've ever had in my life. What am I going to do with it? I bought shoes, I bought clothes, I bought my daddy clothes, I bought my daddy shoes, I bought my brother shoes, everything. everybody got shoes. and when we sat down and we had these conversations, he said budget, and I said, what the heck is a budget? And we talked about it, and I said, oh, okay, I can give it a shot. And, you know, most people, they think when it's time to start cracking down, you got all this debt looming over you. It's time to cut out the coffee, cut out, like you said, the beauty salon, mm-hmm. or cutting out things that you like to do. And that's not always the case. You don't always have to completely restrict yourself. You just have to learn how to budget. You know, we've got fixed expenses. We've got flex expenses, you know, those bills, mm-hmm. that kind of fluctuate month to month. And then you have your, what some people would call a TP fund, which is like your personal hygiene products, like household items, things like that. And then you've got what's called fund money. And that's not always, you know, some people think, oh, well, after budgeting, I've got $2,500 left or $100 left and this, that, and a third. Well, you don't need to spend what's left. You should pay your savings account first. And then you can decide what amount is your fund money. And mm-hmm. with that fund money, you do whatever you have available to you, whether that is a trip to the beauty salon or you can go get coffee with you and your buddies or whoever, things like that.
Now, did you guys do those as percentages or dollar amounts?
Dollar amounts.
definitely. Dollar amounts, but you know, we just sat down and we realized that instant gratification too. I think was a big thing because that both of us struggled with, you know,
and guilty.
And we, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to sit there and look at something and say, well, I can pay for it. That again, that doesn't mean you can afford it. And that was one thing that I think both of us really struggle with, is like seeing things that we want and we're like, I want it and I'm gonna get it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, looking back, I'm glad that we realized that like instant gratification isn't necessarily the right way to do it, with the goal in mind of obviously trying to live as debt free as possible and paying down these things and actually keeping the money that we're making and not just putting it out.
And that is an epidemic, I think, with anyone can get credit now.
Right.
I think mm-hmm. one of the biggest things I noticed in looking up information on this show is guys signing up for car notes, $1,000 a month, $1,200 a month, $1,300 a month. And not just for the Dodge, you know, those popular Dodge vehicles, mm-hmm. but for lesser vehicles, because they don't have credit history.
Right.
So when you talk about that, that car note, you know, a confession, that the truck I want, mm-hmm. the one I want,
right,
compared to the truck I need. Make that distinction between the guy who wants the GMC Sierra AT4 and he's driving a Nissan Titan.
Well, to me, I think if that's your goal, if you want the truck, save for it, and don't, I would not take out a loan for a truck like mm-hmm. that. If you can't afford it, you see all these people. That have these really nice luxury vehicles, and sometimes you wonder, well, is that where all their money's going? What's in the bank versus what are you putting out? Mm-hmm. You could be driving a luxury vehicle and not be wealthy at all. In the terms of wealthy, it's about the money you keep, and if all your money's going out to these luxury car payments,
luxury purses,
right? Purchases. Period.
You know, I think it was a year ago that China came out and revealed the truth on all of the luxury handbags right. that they're made there, and then they're sent to France or they're sent to Italy, and the brass is put on them.
Oh yeah, and they're marked way up.
And then the resale market isn't there.
No.
Yeah. So that isn't a smart investment.
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't think a car or purses or anything.
Don't say Pokemon cards aren't a smart investment right now. Because man, I got bit by the bug a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Pokemon show they had out at the Abbott
Shrine.
Right, dude. Yeah. It bit me. It bit me. But we're coming up on our final break. I want you guys to stay here and have some closing thoughts on what people can do tomorrow to start saving money. I'm learning a lot from you guys. I could go on an hour by myself about my financial calamities I've created for but I created all of them. I created every financial problem I had, including child support. So I got to laugh at myself sometimes, folks. Tonight I'm Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We're coming up on our final break, 251-343-0106. Thank you. We're back tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, my esteemed guest, Lane and Lindsay Mannion, and we're talking about financial competency, financial responsibility. You know, you've already said you're not too young, you're not too old to start doing it.
Right.
It takes discipline to do it.
Yep.
You mentioned that B word, budget.
Budget, yep. Budget and discipline.
Right. Putting it down on paper and talking about it. Not depriving yourself of the things you enjoy, but limiting how often you enjoy them and right. the cost of those enjoyments. Man, it sounds like you guys are just boring. Good grief, man! Come on now, I want to have fun.
And I think it's okay to have fun. Just like with everything in moderation, right? So you know, go do your trip, go have your fun, but within your means, right? So you don't have to go do the trip and do all the luxury big ticket items, but you can still go out, enjoy yourself, vacation, what have you, but within your means. I heard a phrase one time, you know, bedazzle your basic lifestyle. I think that's great.
But Lindsay, I can't get jiggy with it. My wife likes these Birkin bags, dude. You know what I'm saying? She likes these red bottom shoes and apple bottom jeans. I got to get those things for her, right?
No, you absolutely do not have to. Those are all wants. They're not necessities. I've never owned a pair of red bottoms as much as I can't even say that I'd want to anyway. And you can splurge on maybe one bag every couple of years. How many purses do you really need?
Okay. All right. She's not helping, man. Lane, I like the bling bling. You know, I want to be seen when I'm on the scene. Can you dig what I'm saying, baby?
Oh, yeah. I hear what you're saying.
You know, and so how do I do it? You know, you're telling me I can't enjoy my life? You're telling me I can't spend these things and save money?
No, I don't think that at all. I think it's going to take time. I think if you want something and you can save for it, I wouldn't take out a loan for anything that's merchandise like that. That's just a want. If you want something, I'm gonna work hard for it, and I'm gonna get it eventually. But what we just talked about, instant gratification. You can get your bling bling, you know,
and
what I
pay
mean?
Cash for
and
it?
Pay cash for it. Make sure that you can afford it. But back to what I said though, when you do get to that point, make sure that you can buy it twice, because don't clean yourself out. Don't save just that amount of money just so you can buy that one thing. Because I promise you, after you buy that one thing, it's not the gratification of buying that one thing is going to be over quicker, and you. Everyone should have an emergency fund. Nobody should be spending everything they have in their bank account every week, 2 weeks.
Listen, Lizzo likes the crap buffet at the casino, and I got to take her. She doesn't want to hear it's not in our budget. I got to make it happen. What should my emergency fund be for crab leg buffet at the casino?
Absolutely not. Your emergency fund is for your household.
And how much should be in it?
I would say it really depends. I'd say between 6 months to a year worth of bills, things like that.
So utilities, house note,
right?
Car note.
That way, if something happens, like, you know, majority of us that have emergency funds work. And if something happens to you or, you know, some other catastrophe, what you have, you lose your job, or what may have you, what's to say that you are going to be able to find a job the next day? You've got to be able to have that emergency fund to keep you afloat until you can figure out what your next move is.
So it's not even a percentage of you, it's what you spend every month.
That's a personal thing. So that goes into personal finance. I think it depends. What's your lifestyle look like? How do you want to live? That's going to determine how much you need to put back. How do you want to live? Because like Lindsay said, if you lost your job, you're not going to be able to find the exact supplemental income the next day. So you're going to have to apply for jobs. You're going to have to interview. What does that process look like?
Right.
You don't know what the job market's going to look like. You don't know how hard that's going to be. You have to prepare for those kind of things. Or if something goes wrong in your household, and you have
a water break,
right.
A leak, and not out by the water meter, but under the floor of the house.
Right, some serious emergency. That's why we call it an emergency fund, and that's what Lindsay was talking about. Is like that's not for crab legs for Lizzo. That's you know that's for stuff that's actually going to happen that could put you under.
I have a Nike shoe collection. Okay. And I've invested in it, and it's worth a lot of money, Lindsay. I mean, I got money in these shoes.
Sell it all.
But it might be worth more later. You know, isn't that an investment?
Well, I think collections like that can be considered an asset and something that you can contribute to your net worth. But I don't think it's not something that's going to come back to you if you don't sell it. So the way I look at assets is things that come back to me, like passively come back to me as far as income. We're talking about, you know, dividends and stocks and stuff like that. Those to me are what assets are. Even, I mean, as controversial as it is, I don't think a house is necessarily an asset.
Really?
I don't. Why? And that's because it doesn't come back to you without having to get rid of it or sell it. There's no income that comes back to you within your house, and you have household expenses that come up. To me, it's on the liability side, which I'm very aware is controversial, but I don't see a home as an asset. It's a necessity, of course. Right. Everyone needs a house. And I think owning a house, depending on the situation, mm-hmm. is better than renting, because you're still putting it in. It's building equity, but mm-hmm. it's not coming back to
you. Or buying high in a market, then it bottoms out, and now right. you can't sell it for what right. it's worth. The definition of inflation is an increase in the average price of goods and services. How do you save in an inflationary economy like we're dealing with now? Gas is up a dollar and a dime from March.
Right.
Everything is up now. How do we? My pay hasn't increased. Right. And a lot of people don't have jobs where they cannot increase their pay. What they earn every 2 weeks is what they earn.
Right.
What do I do under these circumstances? Can I still save, Lindsay?
You absolutely can. I think that it comes back to what I mentioned previously. You don't always need more income. You need a better system. So mm-hmm. in times like this, it's time to sit down and rebudget and just figure out, like I said earlier, the one or two things that you can see. You definitely need to track your spending, see where your money's leaking, if it's leaking, and if it's not, then you can take some of that fund money and you're just going to have to rebudget that, and we're going to have to be without a little bit of fun for a while.
Lizzo has to have her Yaki number 10 hair weave. And if you don't get the weave tightened up every week, it looks like a wove. So now I have to cut back on that. Yeah. And you know how fat women get violent when they're hungry, so I got to don't have a weave. So how do I combat that? I mean, those are the things that you're talking about you have to cut back on, right?
Wherever you just within your budget, we talked about fixed expenses. We talked about, you know, expenses that changed, variables. You look at the stuff that you don't need, right? Like, they're not an absolute necessity, and you figure out where you want to cut back. I think it's a choice within your budget, but you have to know that irregardless, you're not going to live above your means. Whatever you have is what you have. You, like you said, we're not getting a raise just because tomorrow, you know, gas prices have increased.
Right.
We're just going to have to deal with that. We're going to have to figure it out within our personal budget of, okay, what was I spending last week that I don't need this week that I can live without in this current climate until we get back. But like I said,
are you guys willing to teach this to kids, to schools? Can they reach out to you? Do you have a Facebook page or a Twitter page or a MySpace account?
We are currently working on that. Yeah, we have we're in the startup of trying to start a financial coaching business, right, where we obviously care a lot about finance and wanting to teach, and that's the big thing. I think everybody,
right,
everybody can do it, and we want to help anybody that's willing to listen to us.
Okay, so Port City Patriots, until they get up and running, contact me through Men United Against Violence on Facebook, or contact the station, and I'll put you in contact with them. You want to say goodnight to anybody, Lane?
Goodnight to my daughter and our family and
Lindsay?
Friends out there.
I just want to say goodnight to my sweet little baby.
Thank you guys for coming on anytime. This is a very important conversation.
Thank you for having us.
God bless Mobile. God bless the Port City. God bless the Port City Patriots. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.